This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
No mai, haere mai, ko hana tōku ingoa, and you're listening to That's The Ticket. Now, today I'm pleased to be welcoming a friend of the show, local legend, runner, and creative about town, could we say? Sandra Jensen is back to TTT to give me the tea on the year ahead and some cool creative projects, of course. Kia ora, mate. Great to have you back in the studio.
Kia ora. I usually get called troublemaker more than anything.
I feel like... Oh, there was something like the first time I had you on, there was something I said.
The Sandra of it all.
The Sandra of it all. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm glad you remembered.
Of course.
Oh, let's get back into the Sandra of it all. Because here's the thing, every time you come here, you always have about like 16 different things on the go.
Yeah.
And I feel like today is no different. And like we're, you know, still pretty new into 2026. But there's a lot going on, right?
Yeah. It's like, did January exist at all? I'm not entirely sure it did.
Well, see, our paths crossed in January in a way that I never anticipated.
No.
But I was pleased to be there.
So we managed to avoid a few on-street near collisions.
Yeah. But for context, Sandra and I both had the pleasure of being involved in To The Stars, the opening production at the BNZ Theatre in town. And one of my jobs, Sandra was like the talent. She was actually like on stage doing something. I was backstage crew, and one of my jobs was to go and like air quotes get Sandra from the place where she was, because she was working at height, stilt walking, and kind of guide her through to the wings and politely tell everyone to move so she could get through and get her cue and stuff.
Oh yeah, you're really polite.
It was effective.
No, it was great. I mean, no offence to my husband who supports me in lots of my gigs. It's like, I would hire you in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I feel like, you were working the bouncer heavy vibe.
Yeah.
100%, especially with those kids.
Yeah, we're just walking out and be like, hold. I'll be like, no. Still walker coming through. But I was lucky enough to like work backstage on that show and also see it from the front. And I was very relieved when you made it on stage when I was sitting in the audience.
Yeah. There's always that fear, because being on stage on stilts, it's pretty new. It's like, that's not something we do. And so there's always this moment. I mean, any gig, it's like if you fall, hundreds of people are going to see you fall.
Mm.
But this was a little bit more like, how would I fall on stage and make it look intentional?
Yeah.
And I'm glad I didn't actually have to figure that out.
I mean, you never fell, and it was very cool. It was very cool, and I think because that theatre is huge.
Yeah.
And nobody could have missed you, because you were above everyone else.
Yeah. But it wasn't until I saw some photos, and because I thought, you know, when I'm on stage, I'm like, oh, it doesn't feel that big. And then it wasn't until I saw photos, and then I'm like, oh, actually, I look quite little. Like, could people actually see me on stage? So sort of the perspective was really kind of weird.
Because what height are you when you're on the stilt?
So my stilts are a metre from my foot. So, I don't know, maths, I'm 5'7", average height for a woman at a metre. Yeah.
You've started talking about feet and you've lost
me. I know. Like, feet, metre, inches.
Are we like 3 metres or nah? Less than that. Okay. That's a very polite question.
I might be back at work, but I'm not up to mathing yet. It's still early days.
Fair. And like, was this your first time, like, this was your first time on stage on stilt?
On stage, like, I mean, the reason I learnt to stilt walk was for a production, but that was in the Meteor, and it's sort of different when you've got a black box theatre.
Yeah.
So while we were technically on stage for that,
you're at floor level.
Yeah, at floor level, and it was a different vibe, because there was no risk of falling off stage or falling on or anything, because our act was a specific stilt act. And so, yeah, so it's kind of almost coming full circle in a weird kind of way, but not that I'm finishing, but it just seemed like a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and kind of like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, really.
Well, I mean, I'm almost going to say it's safe to say that you are... Well, you're definitely the first stilt walker on the BNZ Theatre stage.
Heck yeah.
And you might be the last.
I mean, hey, I mean,
you never know.
Not that I'm out here pitching for work, but hey, now that it's been done, you know, there's potential opportunities there. Don't rule it out.
No, no, but I mean, you could return, but no one else could do it. You could be the only person to ever walk across that stage on stilts.
Yeah, I mean, that would be cool. Yeah. But it was cool to be the first and... You know, even if it's just me going, hee hee hee, I'm the first. It's like, I'm just having a little party on my own.
Yeah.
But it was cool. And I mean, the whole event itself was cool. And the camaraderie and just the vibe was, for the most part, pretty chill. I mean, you know, there's always going to be stuff not working or not kind of gelling, but it all worked out in the end.
Yeah, no, it always does. And I think for the kind of times that you were on stage, there are often big company numbers.
Yeah.
And we all know that you're going to be there, but you can never not get excited when someone on stilts, like, interacts with you. You kind of always want to participate with it.
I mean, it was so super cool that no matter how many, like that first scene, no matter how many times we did it or rehearsed it, and I think Silas was just amazing because... I'm sort of, it's like, you know, interact, be all sort of wondrous and whimsical and go, wow. And each time he did, and I'm looking at his face going, wow, this kid's a really good actor. Because every single time it was just this pure, absolute joy on his face. And I'm like, either he's really into this or he is actually a really good actor.
Are you saying that people don't have absolute joy on their face when they're engaging with you, mate?
No, often it's fear.
Oh, actually, I guess that's the thing, you know, because you're still walking around town.
Yeah. No one was scared anyway backstage, you know, even the kids and everything. Everyone was just like, wow, this is a really cool thing. But, you know, there is fear. Yeah. There is absolute fear. People, they equate us to being like a clown. So, you know, anyone who's got a fear of clowns often will have a fear of stilt walkers.
Yeah.
But most of the part, I mean, you might scare the odd, really tiny little child, but most of the time it's the kids who are like, think it's really wondrous.
Yeah, you want to engage with it. You want to touch the stilts, which is, don't do it, guys. Don't do it. And, you know, earlier you were talking about, you know, your first time stilt walking on a stage in a long time, and you're talking about, like, falling. Can I ask when the last time you had a fall was?
I've been stilt walking for 27 years, which is amazing considering I'm only 25 years old. although yesterday I got told I looked 19 and I thought, that grease paint is really working for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was sober too.
Yeehaw, take the wind, sis.
Yeah, so I've only fallen once while performing.
Really?
And
that's great.
Yeah, and it was actually, I'm trying to think, it's over 10 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it a big fall? Like, did you go the whole nine yards?
I fell. It was Melbourne Cup day. I was at a pub.
Great.
Which sounds weird. I was trying to limbo and it didn't work. So, and it was a good fall. I fell safely and didn't hurt myself other than my ego, you know, I mean, if that's all that
gets bruised,
if that's all that's wounded, oh, shame, then that's a win.
I'm glad that it was doing something like doing the limbo.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, if you're going to do it, it needs to be a good story.
Yeah,
I misstepped and went.
I know another stilt walker who of a similar sort of vintage as me, and she fell by slipping on a piece of pizza in a nightclub.
Oh, that's so good.
Again, you know, she fell safely, didn't hurt herself. Other people, there's no way of predicting a fall. It's completely random, and usually it's more because you're tired and so you're just less aware. But I was limboing. So the stilt walker is pizza. Honestly, I am the person who, if I see a banana on the ground,
I
avoid it. I'm like, I'm not risking that.
I would, like, pizza feels a hop skipping away from the old banana slip.
Yeah.
But still time. But okay, so that's to the stars. And I guess January, I don't know if it's mean of me to ask, but I'm going to do it anyway because radio.
Yeah.
But January, that was an interesting time with the weather.
All our New Year's Eve gigs cancelled.
Oh.
Which we were, you know, because we're normally quite busy. I mean, it was busy leading up with Christmas, but then New Year's Eve just, it was like, wah, wah, wah. It tanked. And then the first gig of the year, which is always an awesome one, Waihi Beach Summer Fair, I gave up an hour in because thunder and lightning.
That'll
and
do it.
I suddenly thought, this is not a good idea.
Yeah, it's big lightning rod energy, yeah.
Yeah, it was like 20 minutes in, it wasn't just a drizzle, it bucketed. And yeah, when the thunder and lightning hit, I'm still walking out of there, ducking to go and get my stilts off in a tree going, this is still not a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, respect the commitment.
Yeah, and then unfortunately we had to make a call to cancel another gig, obviously, because of the weather. And yeah, as we all know, a lot of people didn't fare quite as well as we did. So it was what it was. It's just the nature, ironically, the nature of what it is that we do, predominantly being outside. And for our own safety, we have to make that call most of the time. So, but with roads closed and stuff like that and further impending bad weather, you know, you chalk one up and go, hey, we live to see another day. But the last weekend, weekend just been, sweet as, two gigs, back to back, Tauranga Buskers Festival and Caddy Caddy AMP show. And I love AMP shows.
Yeah.
They're wholesome. They're so ridiculously wholesome and good.
Yeah. Like lots of sheep, lots of cows.
Yeah, Highland dancing, wood chopping, sand wrestling, you know, the sheep, performing sheep, tractor rides.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know, old dudes driving a tractor around with kids on the trailer. It's like Osh would have a field day, but no one cares. It's like,
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, I'm glad that, you know, you got some good gigs in January. And then I guess now that we're in February and the rest of the year is coming in hot.
Yep.
How's it looking?
It's looking good. I mean, February is always kind of a good one for us. Waitangi Day sort of kicks things off. And we've got Rotorua, Hamilton for that one. And then, it's sort of like my brain's a bit of... there's a lot, and then March is just off the hook, and then sort of things quiet enough in April. But I mean, we've booked gigs for Christmas already.
Wow,
and
we love to see it.
Yeah, August is busy, September, spring, Christmas, and then there's already gigs in 2027.
Wow. That,
we have regular ones which we absolutely love, so we're like, yep, keep getting us back.
Great.
Yeah,
love it.
So it's good.
Yeah, cool. Okay. I mean, we love to see it. I guess I want to break for something else that's good, which is Sandra's one of those guests who gives me songs.
Hey, you ask.
I know, but you know, some people find it quite, like, hard to pick, whereas you're like, you know what, here's more than you need. But you've got, if you tolerate this, your children will be next.
Yeah.
Is this like... Is this a threat or is it something nice?
I don't know. You said, I mean, we're not going to get political, but this is a good song.
And okay.
Manic Street Preachers are just, you know, a lot of their songs are like, topical, no matter how old they are.
So,
So this seems sort of very relevant and valid.
It's very on brand for you.
And it's a good song.
Yeah, we'll take a good song.
And they're Welsh. It's like,
They're Welsh. Actually, my mum will be listening, and my mum is Welsh.
Yeah.
So, kia ora mum. Actually, Uncle Rick is also Welsh. Kia ora Uncle Rick.
Yeah.
So,
Here we go. Some Welsh rock.
No, I want to try and like introduce the track in Welsh. I can't.
No.
There's a very few things I can say in Welsh, and I'm not going to do it on air. But, enjoy this one, team.
To be afraid of cold. So
love a bit of Manic Street Preachers.
Oh, that'd be good in concert. They're like a anthem band kind of.
It's got a level of epicness that I feel is appropriate for That's the Ticket.
Yeah.
Congrats, your episode 251.
Ooh.
Yeah. Take that as you will.
Okay, I'll look into that.
Yeah,
and
take
see
it
if
personally.
There's anything relevant.
251. I mean, you've probably done 251 gigs.
Yeah.
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 I mean, I was going to say, do you keep track? But no. I feel like that's impossible.
No, I don't.
Yeah. I have some guests, particularly the like theatery ones, who like keep track of every show that they've done.
Heck no.
Yeah, it's too much admin. Yeah. Even I don't. I could try, but like that'd be the rest of the episode done.
Even running events, medals and bibs are just chucked into a bin. It's like, here we go, here's another one.
This is actually a good, I mean, this isn't on my question list, but we always manage to talk about running on my arts podcast. But
running is an art.
It is an art. Well, because Sandra and I are both keen runners and we now live in the same neighbourhood and we see each other running. And it's just crack up.
It's usually I'm starting and you're finishing.
Yeah. It's just crack up and it brings me a lot of joy. And it brings me a lot of joy every time we see each other at creative events and we always just have a yarn about running.
Yeah.
And then everyone else just feels excluded and it's awesome. But with the like medals and like race bibs and stuff, do you keep every single one?
I do.
Mm.
At some point I'll be like, why?
Yeah.
But at this point, it's like, they don't take up much space. So, yeah, I do keep them. I don't keep race T-shirts because most of the time they're awful.
Yeah. I keep the shirts and then I wear them in my super early morning runs when no one can see me.
Yeah, I'm just at that point now where it's like, no, I'm not a size small. Race hats, yes. I like getting my free hats.
I do.
Auckland Marathon every year. It's like that's where I get my free hat. And then that's the hat I wear for a year until I get my next free hat.
That's great. I've got a Pawanui Marathon, which I did not run, but I ran a different event. They must have had leftover ones and they're like, here,
like
you get this hat.
A T-shirt to a concert you've never been to.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, there's certain rules here.
Hey now.
Come on.
I did a Pawanui Ultra Marathon. Mm. So I feel like, you know, I earned the hat.
It's passable.
I think I have got rid of some bibs. My sister, I think she keeps them and writes the time on the back.
I know someone who's put them into an album.
Ooh.
Like what you put photos.
Yeah.
And that kind of, I'm like, okay, that kind of makes sense.
Or like, I was half expecting you to be one of those like crafty people where you've got like the medals on the wall or something.
No, we're in a rental.
Okay. My sister and I joked about wallpapering one of, like, the bathroom just with race bibs.
Yeah.
Like, just all around the wall. But, like, that might be a bit much. I mean, it's the same with show programs because I have a whole shelf in my bookcase that's just show programs because you're like, well, it's, you know, A, time and effort went into this. B, especially if I'm involved in the creative project, I'm like, it's part of me.
I'm a fan of ephemera.
Yeah.
But
I had no idea. Yeah. You definitely don't have that vibe in the slightest. Oh, gosh. But no, on the topic of kind of holding on to things in ephemera, this is a really chunky segue. Not my best work, but I've heard that from you that you've started this project, The Unofficial History of the Summer Shakespeare in Kirikiriroa.
Yep.
Why?
Why not? because, you know, people go on about how it's iconic. And
it is.
No one's actually done anything. I think there was a website a few years back where someone, and that kind of fell by the wayside. But I just feel like, you know, people go, oh, it's iconic. Oh, it's like, well, prove it. It's you know, a lot of towns have different summer Shakespeares. Mm. It's just one of those things that people do. And I know so many people in the acting community in Hamilton have basically sort of, you know, earned their what do you call it?
Oh, it's like everyone has a crack.
Yeah, they have a crack. That's how some people get into it. It's into acting.
Or directing
anything. You know, even then it's like, oh, yeah, they're making the props. Or in the past, you know, we used to have a whole crew who'd do the costumes. And I don't think people realise it predates so many events. It predates the Hamilton Gardens Arts Festival. It even goes back past the 90s. It's into the 80s.
Okay, so it predates me.
Yeah, it predates you. It doesn't quite predate me, but, you know, a lot of the people who started it predate me. And yeah, so it's just one of those things. It's been around a really, really, really long time. I remember being aware of the first, I was first aware of it in about 1993.
Okay.
And even then it had been going for a little while. So yeah. It's just one of those things. It's whether you like Shakespeare or not, I think people try and put their own little spin on it. And yeah, I mean, this year, the crew doing it because, you know, they're fans of Bridgerton.
Yeah.
And so they're doing that
Regency sort of, era.
Yeah, Pride and Prejudice, Bridgerton, which I think is great because it's bringing that, for me as someone who makes costumes, it's bringing that costume element back in. Because back in the day, we used to really go hard out making the costumes. Some of them were really weird and wacky and fantastical, and I've even acted in a couple of the summer Shakespeare's.
That was going to be my next question. Yeah. What ones were you in?
I can't remember.
Surely A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yes.
I can see it.
A Midsummer Night's Dream in, okay, we're talking pre-Y2K here. So, yeah, I was one of the fairies.
Yeah, called it. Were you in The Tempest? I can see you in The Tempest as well.
No, but I did make costumes for it.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. And then I was in one a few years ago. It was funny, I was in it, but I got to go and see myself in it because it was pre-recorded. So I was...
Oh, okay. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm with you.
A goddess, which, of course, why wouldn't I be a goddess?
Yeah. I mean, you said...
sorry, I feel a bit sick there.
You said on That's the Ticket, so now it's, like, cemented in history, sis. But, I mean, if you're listening and you like summer Shakespeare, it's usually almost always outdoors.
Yeah, there's the outdoors, and they have the dawn performance, which I think is, again, people go, it's iconic. It's like, yeah, so the dawn show, you get up early, you go down, you have your, you try and stay awake to watch, you end up sort of realising you're half asleep, you're covered in dew.
And you get real cold because it's always like darkest before the dawn.
And then, I mean, what people don't know is that afterwards, for the cast and crew, then they go and have a big slap-up breakfast, usually pancakes and and champagne. So, you know, as a boss who's trying to provide organised performance for events, anyone who's in the dawn performance is dead to me.
Fair.
For the rest of that day.
fair. And I remember seeing The Midsummer Night's Dream in 2012. I went to the dawn performance and I remember all the fairies came out of like the trees and stuff and I was like, oh my God, wow.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Cool being able to utilise the gardens and it often, you know, it sort of, I guess it ebbs and flows, you know, touring it was a big thing. We'd go to Whakatane, Te Puke, Te Awamutu, and that was cool also going, you know, overnight, taking it to different places and utilising the space that you've been given sort of can change how, you know, if you go to Whakatane and do the show, it's going to be slightly different to doing exactly the same show here in Hamilton or somewhere else. So it's cool being able to know in advance the spaces that you're going to use. You can go, oh yeah, we'll be able to come out of the trees here, but there's no trees there. Where can we come out of? We'll just,
it always feels very authentic, or what I imagine... Similar, the closest you can get in New Zealand kind of to an authentic, like, OG Shakespeare when they're performing outside to the masses, like it's real just kind of on the fly.
I like that there's enthusiasm and passion, not necessarily refinement. I'm not saying anything. I don't know. I haven't seen the crew. They're awesome and it was great. But, yeah, one of the things that does often – at times can feel really DIY, which I think is really good.
It's got heart.
Yeah, it has. And it's like you go to the show, you take your picnic and your blanket, and it's a koha. So it's not like you're forking out huge amounts for the show. But I think, I'm not saying you get what you pay for, but, it's just got that DIY, homemade kind of vibe with passion and people doing it because they really, really want to do it as opposed to they feel obligated to or they're making loads of money because they're certainly not.
No, everyone's doing it for love. But with your kind of unofficial history project, how does that work? How are you getting that done? I feel like there's just so much to sift through.
I know. I keep starting projects out of spite. And yeah. This is always, yeah, sort of then ends up being lots of work. And I'm like, I shouldn't be so spiteful. But then I'm like, nah, I'm going
the
to
The taming
be.
Of the shrew is based on you.
Yeah, totally. No, it's just I've just been hunting for stuff. There's so much, again, ephemera out there, old posters and stuff that have yet to be found. So it's just going to be an ongoing project. And so we'll incorporate all the new stuff that's coming out. But ideally, you know, I'm going to shout out if anyone's got anything, whether it be photos or posters or anything from past Hamilton Summer Shakespeares, then it's a Facebook page, so the unofficial history of Summer Shakespeare, Hamilton.
Yeah.
And yeah, so yeah, people have thrown all sorts of stuff my way and it's been great. So, and there's still heaps that we haven't found and that'll come out eventually.
Yeah, no, it's a good page to track, guys. And I'll chuck the link up with the podcast of this episode. So if you don't follow the That's the Ticket with Hannah Mooney Facebook page, now's a good time to start. Or yeah, might as well give Free Lunch, a street theatre company, a cheeky follow on socials. And as Sandra mentioned, the unofficial history of Summer Shakespeare, Kirikiriroa, you can find it on Facebook. Whew. Okay. I got a break for another song because you know I got an important segment to get in, mate.
Yep. I mean, that's surely what everyone listens to the show for anyway.
Pretty much. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Uncle Rick has a bigger fan base than I.
Yeah.
And for those of you listening who feel left out, I'm about to explain what we're talking about. So it's time for Rick's pick. Basically, the way this works is that I have an Uncle Rick. He is a great listener of radio, great listener of music. And when I started That's the Ticket 251 episodes ago, he was like, Hannah, here's a list of songs that I like, and each week you can pick a song from the list and we'll play Rick's pick. And every week we have, and now I do this thing where I try and pick something that's like on theme with who I'm talking to or what we're talking about. And yeah, I feel like this one's apt. It's a Lee Marvin track called Wanderin' Star. Because, like, you know, street theatre company, you spend a lot of time wandering around and being the star of the show.
Sometimes look like a star.
You do have a star fit, eh?
Yeah.
So it feels apt. But Uncle Rick, as always, thank you for your picks. It makes my job so much easier. It means I don't have to pick my own music. And I hope you enjoy this one, mate.
Under the wandering star, a wandering star. make you blister and the planes can make you dry. So can burn your eyes when lonely people make you cry. Home is made for coming from, for dreams of going to, which with any luck will never come true.
This week's Rick's Pick, Wandering Star by Lee Marvin. As always, Uncle Rick, thanks. I hope you enjoyed that one. And if you're just joining us, welcome back to That's the Ticket with me, Hannah Mooney. And I've got friend of the show, founder of Freelance Street Theatre Company and just creative about town, Sandra's back. You always come back. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah.
You just always have stuff to talk about, mate.
You ask, I come. It's all good.
We've got a really good working relationship now, I feel.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we're covering a lot of ground, and so I want to keep kind of prying because it's what I'm here to do. And I've seen that the zombie walk is back.
Yep.
Miss Cadaver.
Yep.
Is this the last one?
Yep.
Have you said that before?
Yep.
Okay. Is it true this time?
100%.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. All right, let's rewind. Let's inform our listeners, what is the zombie walk? Tell me about it.
Well, the zombie walk and Miss Cadaver are two different things. So yeah. Zombie walks, it's a zombie walk, basically. Yeah. Halloween, people dress up and you walk, like, amble as zombies through town. They've happened in the past here in Hamilton. I remember when we very briefly had Armageddon Expo
yes.
here at Claudelands, they did do a zombie walk, I think, from town to Claudelands. But yeah, we've done a couple. We tried to do one last year, but life just got in the way.
Yeah.
Elections and all that sort of stuff. So we're a little bit just over everything. So this year it's happening again and it will be on Halloween this time. And so yeah, it's like dress up as a zombie, amble through town. We plan on having something happening at the end.
Yeah.
Hopefully some prizes. And yeah, in the past we had just random people we had not, you know, it's not like it's our mates
yeah.
turning up. We actually had people who were like, whoa, these guys. And the DIY aspect yeah. made their own special effects.
Mm.
And it was creepy and it was awesome.
And then Miss Cadaver, is this happening in conjunction? Are they within the same time period? That's why I lump it together.
So Miss Cadaver's November 7th at the Meteor Theatre. And I couldn't get Halloween. Would have been cool, but that's the way it is.
Hey, you've got walking to do on Halloween.
Yeah, Halloween also is the day before Auckland Marathon.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I know. So,
oh, yep.
Yeah, and it's happened before. I think actually the first year I did Miss Cadaver was the day before Auckland Marathon. So yeah. I got a tattoo of a running skeleton to basically mark the Miss Cadaver and the Auckland Marathon in the same weekend. And looks like I'm doing the same again.
Okay, good on you.
Yeah. So Miss Cadaver is an undead beauty pageant. As per a lot of things I do, I like to take the piss out of social norms.
Mm.
And beauty, you know, the whole F your beauty standards kind of thing. And so it's like, yeah. And Miss Cadaver is an actual pageant. Like the people who are, they are actually competing. They are creating their own personas, their own effects, their own talent, their own act. I mean, our last winner, or one of our winners, Lightning Linda, gave birth to a zombie baby live on stage.
Okay, shot Linda.
Yeah, and then tried to raffle it off for a box of Woodstocks and a tinny. So it's like, and this is, it's the aspect of what they do is also kind of a surprise to me, other than needing to know if we need to cover the theatre in plastic.
Yeah.
Not quite a free-for-all, but it's like, hey, encouraging people to create their own character and persona and do something that's kind of weird and creepy. Like, we've had dancing vampires, we had a piano accordion playing clown, we've had a wrestler wrestling a zombie, and she then pulled off various appendages, one in particular, which, so it's a little bit, it's usually R18.
Yeah, I was going to say, remember where we are.
Yeah, it's a little bit, but it's just that thing, it's like, yeah. So, and this is the last. The last one didn't finish quite how I, on the note I didn't quite like. I was like, it felt unfinished. And so we've been trying since then to do it. We've had to cancel a couple just because of COVID and all that sort of stuff. So this is it. This is, we're doing this.
Okay. You've said it on That's the Ticket. So
this is it.
This is it.
My particular character will cease to exist.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So
does this mean you get to participate?
No, I am still the MC.
Oh, okay.
But yes, there will be, yes, she will be ended. Okay, which is funny because she's already undead, but she will be permanently ended.
Okay. Actually, this is an interesting question that you've kind of got me thinking on, because you know, Sis's got range. You've got a lot of kind of characters that you can pull out of the shed. Literally, I'm imagining
the garage.
The
yes.
garage, yep. Yeah. Have you retired other characters previously?
Costumes, yes. A lot of what we do is one off. I get bored easily, and I don't like doing the same thing over and over and over.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it is, you know, amplified each time, it's like, no, I don't want to be pulling out the same event. Year after year, because it gets boring and it's predictable, and I don't like that level of predictability. I mean, I like routine.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like being back at work and having that familiarity.
Yeah.
And then
we love the running calendar.
I kind of thrive on that intense pressure.
Yeah.
Like, over the holidays, I had too much time on my hand, which meant I didn't get as much done as you might think, because I'm like, I've got too much time.
Yeah, yeah, now relatable whereas, content.
Yeah, so I need a deadline, and I work better under pressure. But I also, don't want to be doing the same old thing over and over and over. It's, again, as much like with running events. I don't want to do the same running event every single year. I also don't want to do the same running event that everyone does. It's just like, no, let's just mix it up. There's lots of running events.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing a brand new one this year.
What is that?
Naseby Water Race.
Oh, we've talked about this off air.
The 50K for my 50th, because this year is also a milestone year, turning 50. Ooh. Gross. And so, I'm thinking, you know, it's like with the To the Stars thing, it was like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm turning 50. I'm going to go do a 50K. There's various other things where it's just like these are one-offs, and I kind of like that.
Yeah.
You know? And next year will be different, completely different.
Well, I mean, I think that definitely comes through and true with, a lot of your performances and a lot of the events you organise. Even if it's repeats of events, it's never the same event.
Yeah. And something, it's like, okay, this is working, and then it doesn't work.
Mm.
And so you don't do it.
Yeah.
Whereas, I feel like sometimes stuff's just pushed through and you're like, you know, you didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it every year. Do it biannually, or do it once every 5 years, or just don't do it because it's crap.
Oh, yeah. I was like, watch yourself. But, I mean, actually, on that, so if people want to find out more about the Zombie Walk and Miss Cadaver, you can do so on Facebook.
It's on Facebook. So Miss Cadaver is under the page Necrodancer.
Yes.
Because Necrodancer was created, we did Dancing Zombie Brides.
Yes, you did.
For the Hamilton Fringe, and then we actually took it to Tauranga Fringe and Auckland Fringe. And so it was, again, it was that whole sort of, you know, it's hilarious coming from someone who is actually married. You know, the whole piss take of, you know, brides and weddings and stuff.
Yeah, so, Bridezilla.
Yeah, so Necrodancer is, and also co-hosts a free lunch and the Hamilton Festival of Weird. Mm. So this is kind of our Hamilton Festival of Weird thing that we're doing this year.
Yeah, because right? I was going to be cheeky and ask what the goal is with Hamilton Festival
again,
of Weird.
Again, we don't want to do the same thing every year. We don't want to be predictable. So this year we're kind of, we might do some pop-ups, but we're going to focus on the Halloween aspect and collabing with Necrodancer and free lunch. And then next year, who knows? Mm. We'll look at what vibe we want to do, where we want to go.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, it's nice to know that you're still out there keeping it weird.
Yeah. I mean, you know, something will pop into our brain and we'll go, oh, well, that's bizarre. We have to do that. We've got too many ideas. Like Lauren and I are always throwing ideas at each other and it's like, oh, we should actually start writing them all down.
I was going to say, is there a filing system?
No, there's not.
It's just a high trust model.
No, there'll be a group chat that we can just scroll back through and go, oh, okay, in 2024, we, on the 3rd of April, we suggested this.
Yeah, okay. I mean, keep at it if it works. Are there any other upcoming projects that you want to plug while we're here?
Is there? What am I doing? Doing so many.
You're kind of just doing it minute by minute at the moment, mate.
I mean, we've got the launch, riffraff, relaunch statue.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah, Valentine's Day. So outside the BNZ Theatre.
Yes, and we will be doing the Time Warp again.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, Richard will be there. I mean, you know, we've got Hot and Flustered Shadowcast come down from Auckland for that. There's the Sambatron. There's a whole lot of other stuff. So it's kind of like, yeah. And again, it's free.
Yeah.
So, you know, get on down and just sort of hopefully, again, it might be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Hopefully the statue will be there for a considerable amount of time and we won't have to move it yet again.
Hey, he always finds a way back, I reckon. Oh, that riffraff statue will survive the apocalypse.
Yeah, but that's the location it needs to be in.
Yeah.
The museum was fine, you know, as an interim, but it's like has to be back there.
Yeah. Okay, well, I might segue into upcoming events. You can just chill out. Feel free to interject. But here are some of the cool creative happenings coming up in Kerikeriroa, Hamilton, in the not-so-distant future. So as we were talking about at the top of the show, the iconic Summer Shakespeare is back on the 21st and 22nd of February. Plus, they're also in on the 1st of March. And there's an array of different performance times, including the 5 a.m. dawn performance, and it's all in Rogers Rose Garden. Entry is by Koha, and more info is at hamiltonartsfestival.co.nz. This year, as we touched on, they are doing Much Ado About Nothing in kind of Bridgerton Regency style.
And they're also doing two shows in the CBD.
Oh, yes.
One in Te Awamutu, I think one in Te Aroha.
Great.
So they're doing more. So if you miss it at the Arts Festival, there's other shows. Or if you just love it that much, you have to go to all of them.
Okay, great. You're a good guest.
I know.
So on the topic of Hamilton Arts Festival, the stage is set in Hamilton Arts Festival Toyota Ki Kerikeriroa is back in February. So the program is out and tickets are available now. Just visit hamiltonartsfestival.co.nz. Up the road, Clarence Street Theatre has Prima Facie in for a special one-show-only performance on the 18th of February. More info and tickets at Ticketek. And then The Meteor has comedian Blake Pavey in on the 20th of February. More info and tickets at themeteor.co.nz. Whew! As I always like to end this with, I am not the definitive guide of all the cool stuff happening, otherwise I wouldn't need a guest, and Sandra's kind of interesting, so I only do a few events.
Kinda.
Yeah, kind of. Nah. But, you know, I've probably asked you this question. You know, at the end of the show where I'm like, you know, spent the last, like, 45 minutes here on TTT giving me the tea, how do you take your tea?
Yeah.
Surely I've asked you that. I don't remember how you take it.
I mean, I alternate between, you know, soy or oat milk.
Yeah, that's right. It's coming back to me now.
I'm one of those dairy-free weirdos.
Yeah.
I like a good gumboot.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of Earl Grey because I don't like the taste of bergamot. It's
too much.
You know, a good English breakfast or even an Irish breakfast.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's a good strong cup of tea, maybe a hint of sugar. Just a little.
Do you drink coffee?
I drink coffee by the bucket load.
Really?
Yeah. I am a coffee. At work, we have a new coffee machine.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's a reason to go to work. Because I can crank up the machine, like, proper, legit.
Are you just honing long blacks, or are we having, like, a little oat latte or something?
Oat flat white.
Oh, yeehaw. You know,
good,
okay.
Strong, here's on your chest coffee, though. It's got to taste like coffee.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then do you caffeinate on race day?
Yes. Races, I have a coffee, and I might have a second coffee.
Yeah.
And as you know, us runners visit the toilet a lot. Pre-race, but that's it. I will have a coffee.
Okay.
And that's it. I'll do the run.
All right.
Finish, then go.
Banana?
Hot chips.
Oh, yeah, hot chips. It's the only
no
way.
One runs for salad. Come on.
Look, I love a banana.
Yeah,
love a banana.
It's about the only one of the few times I eat bananas, but yeah.
Okay.
You know,
fair.
But yeah.
All right. Well, that's a good way to end the show. Oh, no, but thanks for coming in, mate. And
yeah, anytime.
I guess this is a fitting way because it seems I just can't get enough. So I'm gonna I'm gonna play "Just Can't Get Enough." Why'd you pick this song? Just because it's a bop?
Because I love Depeche Mode and I love Dave. He's great.
You
and
love Dave.
They, yeah, they recently had a production at the. We went to the movies, so they put out a movie about touring in Mexico. So Mexicans love them, and this was just. Not long after Andy had passed away, so it was kind of like bittersweet. You're sort of watching them on stage, and it's like, it's them, but Andy's not there. But it was just cool. I just think they're cool. And, you know, any older sort of emo goth kind of, it's like you got to still love them. And if they came to New Zealand or even Australia, I'd be like, yes!
Yeah, you'll be there with bells
on. Yeah, my husband knows that Dave's my boyfriend.
Okay, and so does everyone listening to That's the Ticket right now. But thanks again, mate, and to my lovely listeners, you can bet I'll be back soon with a fresh episode of That's the Ticket. But until then, enjoy this banger, team.
Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.